She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
You're listening to Our Mirrors Reflections via Anchor.fm. Anchor FM makes podcasting easy, especially for a startup like me. I love using this platform because it's free. You can accept sponsorships as well as its ability to automate distribution of your podcast across majority, if not all, of podcast channels. You should give Anchor a try. It's free to sign up. Thanks so much for following Our Mirrors Reflections. Hey guys, it's another taping with Our Mirrors Reflections with Andrea Jackson. Thank you for joining me this week. The last few weeks have been really, really busy. I know that we're all busy doing amazing things and with our families and with our children. I've been really busy with my youngest child. He's been injured with a concussion from football and then a sprain from basketball and in the ER and at the hospital for x-rays and all that mom stuff, which brings me to talk about this topic of parenting and how hard it is to be a parent, whether you're a father, whether you're a mom. I got to tell you, some days I really do go into the bathroom or into my closet in the basement and I scream because it's not easy raising a teenager. And because my oldest one is 23, I forgot the growing pains of raising a teenager. It's not easy. It's exhausting. It's very stressful. You want to see your children win. You want them to set their ambitions high. You want them to get past all the adversities that they're facing in school. And you want everything to be great and perfect. But the truth of the matter is we know nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. I so now understand what my mother said is, you will know when you become a parent and you have your own children to raise. Boy, do I have so much respect for her for raising six children of her own and then my sister's two children. It takes a very special person to raise that many children and deal with that many personalities. I think I would have more than an alopecia issue going on, guys, honestly. But I wanted to talk about parenting because it's something that's like in the forefront of my mind right now, especially dealing with our son. It's not easy what the kids are facing today. They have so much stresses, stresses to deliver academically in school, stresses to be the top or the best athlete in their grade, stresses of family stuff and hormonal stuff and dealing with their own identity. And you know, sometimes I really want to wring my son's neck, and sometimes I'm on his case very hard because I think what I'm thinking of is all the different things I have faced and the troubles that I went through. And I'm trying my best. I'm trying so hard as a mom to not have my son go through the experiences that I've gone through. Now, I know children are going to go through things. I know they're going to get into things, but I just don't want it to be a catastrophic situation that could be very costly. And I really know that sometimes I'm overbearing with him, with the academics and with the sports and him cleaning his room and his hygiene. But as I spoke to him today, it's not that I want to be hard on you. It's not that I don't understand. It's not that I don't want to see you have your own personality and do things on your own. It's just that I'm a parent. And I explained to him he will never understand what that is like until he becomes a father himself. I think that is the only way someone could really understand how you will fight for your children, because you just don't want them to struggle and you just don't want them to suffer. And if you see that they're picking up some bad habits, you know that those bad habits can turn into bigger bad habits. And that is what I'm trying to avoid. And, you know, as we sat down and we had a family meeting today, I actually closed my mouth and I opened my ears to really listen to him, to really comprehend what he is feeling, to allow him to verbalize his emotions, even if I don't agree with them, and his, you know, theory or how he sees things, even if I don't agree with him. Because I think that's the only way we can really get into our children's heads, is allowing them to speak, allowing them to express themselves in any way that they can. Because sometimes it is yelling. Sometimes it is screaming. Sometimes there's slamming of doors. If I told you I did not experience all those things already with my first child, I would be lying to you. I went through all of those things. And, you know, what I realized is what worked for her, it's not working for him, because they're two different children and they're requiring different needs. And I just realized, like, I had an aha moment of the hormones plays a huge part in the dysfunction of a teenager when he or she has homework and studying and exams and friends and events to go to. Some you're invited to, some you're not, you know, and then if the home has a little, you know, conflict going on, it can be very overwhelming. And as I say to all parents, I do believe that every child should have an outlet outside of you that they can trust, that they confide in. And when I say an outside outlet, I don't mean their friends who's the same age as them. I actually mean someone older, whether it's a friend that you trust, that their judgment and their way of thinking is aligned with your family's. When I think of someone they can trust, I think of seeing, you know, a psychologist, someone that is licensed and that is trained in dealing with adolescents. You know, when I think of someone they can trust, someone in your family that has also raised children, but they're done already, and they had more than one child, is because, you know, not that if you only have one child, you don't go through the same things, but when you have raised more than a few children, then there, I don't think there's anything that you have not been exposed to or that you have not experienced. And that's wisdom, but that comes with time. And although my daughter is 23, she's a girl child that I raised. She's not a son. So this is the first time we're raising a son, and it's much different than raising our daughter. I just have to tell you, boys are wired differently. They think differently. Their maturity level happens at a later time, I feel, compared to a girl child. And my son is very smart and very articulate and brilliant, and the way he can calculate numbers in his head. But I just really think it's the hormones, it's being a teenager, it's wanting to fit in, that he's struggling. And the reason why I'm being so open about this conversation is because I want other parents to know they're not the only ones struggling. And I don't want you to look at other parents and maybe think they have it all, because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I always say it's very easy to look at someone and come up with this whole idea of what you think their life is. Maybe it's the way they speak. Maybe it's how successful they've been in running their business, or you can't judge someone by just the outside. I think it takes a long time to get to know someone. I mean, I've been with my husband for, oh my God, 26 years, divorced for 4.5 years. And still I'm learning new things about him. So I think it takes time to get to know your child in the different stages that they're going through. You know, my son was so lovable, so sweet, so kissable when he was younger, so thoughtful, and still is very thoughtful. I mean, that child every day asks me, how was your day, Mom? How are you feeling? He's very consistent with his personality. And maybe that's why I am struggling with he's not talking as much. So when we had this breakthrough with him today, I just was like, this is very important to allow your children to express themselves, even if it's crying, even if it's yelling, even if it's a dead out brawl. It's important to know what's going on in their minds. I mean, there were so many things that came up today that I will not divulge. But I will just say it made me think back to when I was a kid. And I really, as I reflect at myself, and I do this every day in the mirror, I look at myself, I think about what I love about myself first and foremost. What makes me Andrea? What makes me unique? What makes me special? Because it's only one of me. I also reflect back at when I was a child and, you know, how Jay is feeling today. I felt that way many of times. And I'm trying to now go back and say, what was it that I needed the most when I was his age? And I started to write some things down and I said, you know what? I needed someone to just listen to me without interruption. And that is what my son reminded me of today. What he so needs, what I needed, and I think what our youth today is missing, is someone to listen without interruption, without judgment, without our input on how we think they should be handling every aspect of their life. Because sometimes you just have to allow your children to be who they are. Even if we don't agree with how they're getting there, they need guidance, they need love. But sometimes just stepping back and saying nothing could be monumental, could be huge. And that's why I think it's so important to reflect. You know, reflection is everything, because I wouldn't have had this aha moment today if I did not go into that mirror and I did not reflect on myself. What am I doing wrong, Andrea? What could I do better? Am I being a good listener? How could I ease up on him? I know the arguing, the yelling, the crying, the begging, the hours of talking. I know all of that comes with parenthood. You know, some people have breezed through parenthood very easily. Some of us have not. I don't know what child does not give their parents issues and problems. I have not met one. And I have a lot of children in my family that I grew up with and saw growing up. I have a lot of friends that have children. All children give issues at some stage in their life. And I have to tell you, teen years are the hardest, because your child is trying to figure themselves out. They're trying to figure out their way through life. They're trying to figure out what they are going to be in life. Are they going to be successful? They're thinking about these things because the society that we live in today, that is what is out there. And they have a lot of pressure. And when you have your kids into Catholic school and private school and these types of intense institutions, you have to be very careful that we don't drop the ball on doing our part with communicating with our kids, finding out what's happening in school, partnering up with the teachers, you know, with the principals, and being actively involved. It's so, so, so important. I just feel that I'm going to spend a lot more one-on-one time with my son that is not affiliated with sports, that's not affiliated with academics, it's not affiliated with playdates and parties, but just me and him alone, whether it's a walk in a park, whether it's a museum, whether it's just taking a drive. I have to do something. I have to implement something different that is going to show him that I'm your mother first and foremost, but I'm also a person that I'm your advocate and I'm here to listen to you. I want you to tell me what you need to thrive. I want you to tell me exactly what is it that you feel you are missing, because sometimes our children just feel like they don't have enough. And to us, we think we're giving them the world. But I want to test you parents out there. I want you guys to jot down some questions if you're going through some of the issues that I'm going through as a parent. You know, how often do we sit down with our children and have just a one-on-one conversation that's not has nothing to do with school, nothing to do with sports, and have everything to do with their mental health? How are they feeling mentally? You know, when they look in the mirror, what do they see? What do they think about themselves? You know, how does their peers view them? I think these types of basic questions, they're basic and they're simple, but sometimes I wonder, are we really doing it? And how often are we doing it? You know, when my son comes in from school, my first thing I always say is, how was your day? How was school? What did you have to eat for lunch? How was sports? Did anything happen that you would like to talk about? I kind of run down this thing every day with him. But what I realized is he's definitely telling me some things, and some things he feels that he has to be strong and he has to be this big grown boy and he's got it because he doesn't want to worry mom. But I want my son, and I want the youth and the parents that's listening today to this show. It is okay for our boys, especially our boys, to cry and to have emotions. I think we're doing our sons a disservice when we tell them, get up and dust yourself off. Don't cry. You'll be okay. You know, you're strong. Boys are not supposed to cry. It's behavior we have to get rid of, because it is okay for our boys to cry. Because if we don't train them from now and tell them it is okay to express their emotions in that healthy way, that is a good release, then they're going to grow up to be men that do not express themselves, that do not show their emotions, that do not cry. And those are men that eventually at some stage or point in their life, an explosion is coming because it's been buried and buried and buried and buried and buried without even expressing themselves on what is bothering them. We have to do better, moms and dads. And as I speak to you, I am speaking to Andrea Jackson as well. When I have and I do these podcasts, I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. Some ended up being great experiences and positive, and some negative and not so great. And I think that's what makes having all these different podcasts so amazing, because I listen to so many during the week and I get inspired by different words or, you know, different experiences that people share. And I'm like, wow, I never thought about it that way. And that is why I'm being so open, so vulnerable, so candid about this, because I know I'm not alone. And it's very important for people to know they are not alone. We're all in this together at the end of the day, you know? And if we can share our journey and it can inspire someone, or maybe not inspire, if it can provoke some thought-provoking conversations, why not do it? Why not talk about it? You know, sometimes it's really not just about you. It's about other people out there that is behind closed doors. And for whatever reason, they feel embarrassed or they feel like people are going to think I'm not a good mom, I'm not a good dad. Listen, we are learning every day on how to be better parents. Every day we're learning that. I'm learning that every day. What did I do wrong with my oldest that did not work so much that I should try not to do with my son? I'm teaching and learning myself every day. I really want you guys to know that this podcast is a very open, vulnerable moment for me. because I take great pride in being a good mom. And I hear people say, well, you're not a great mom. It's like, no, I'm a good mom. But I think it's for my children to judge whether I'm a good mom or I'm a great mom. So I will always say I'm a good mom. And I know that I can do better in some areas. And that's why I'm so grateful for always being blessed with another day, because it's another day that I can do better. It's another day that I can show growth to my children. So I hope that this podcast this week touches someone in a positive way. It makes us reflect. It makes us think. Stay tuned to next week, guys. I really appreciate all your support. I see all your DMs, all your emails. I'm trying my best to reply back to everyone, but I really want to take this moment to say thank you. I am so pleased with all the followers that I have gained. And there is going to be so many amazing things coming for 2020. And I can't wait to share it with you guys. Stay tuned to next week.